the same time, Timothy and Adrian will bring up the rear.
Sir Trenton de Roos eyed the young, eager knight who had been his partner in crime for the past 6 years. Sir Anthony de Witt was a brilliant egotist who sopped up glory and excitement like most men sopped up gravy from a trencher. The man literally fed off of the thrill of an operation like the one they were in the process of performing. As agents for the king, this was their vocation. The king commanded and they fulfilled. If the king told them to remove an enemy, that was exactly what they did. And they did it without an army. Only their wits, skill, and cunning. Like tonight. They had been sent to capture Benoit de Wilde, the sheriff of Ilchester, and a strong opponent of the king's agenda. De Wilde held his position by legacy, meaning his father and his father before him had held the post, and De Wilde had been a thorn in Henry's side long enough. He made it no secret that he thought the King of England to be a vile piece of work, and Henry had enough of the man when De Wilde had stolen a mistress away from the king. Literally spirited the woman away so Henry couldn't get to her. Perhaps that didn't seem like a deadly offense to most, but to Henry VIII, it was a clear sign of disrespect, and disrespect would lead to retaliation. At this time in his life, he was almost 10 years into his reign, and he had already established himself as a strong king who didn't tolerate opposition. And that was where Trenton de Roos came in. God, but he was deadly. A deadly man from a long line of deadly men, his father being the deadliest of all. At least that was the general opinion, until Trenton grew into adulthood and came into his own. Because his father, Gaston de Roos, had served Henry VII for many years, Trenton and Henry's son, the future Henry VIII, had grown up with one another. Trenton was several years older, but young Henry looked to Trenton as the older brother he had never really had. Powerful, intelligent, respectable, and talented. He had long admired the man, and when he became king, Trenton had been offered a most special post, the crown's own agent. It meant that whatever Henry needed Trenton to do, the man did. He and his team of three specialized knights could do it all, and they often did. They were masters of many trades, and most of them deadly, as Benoit de Wilde was about to discover. When Trenton de Roos was on ascent, nothing short of God's intervention could prevent him from completing his mission. In fact, that was the very thing Trenton was thinking of as Anthony begged him to alter his plans slightly. Instead of Trenton going in head first and alone, he and Anthony would go in together and create a distraction. That meant that one of them could surely capture de Wilde, with Timothy and Adrian backing them up. It was a safer plan, but not nearly so fun. Yet Trenton suspected Anthony had suggested it so he could share in some of that glory that seemed to follow Trenton around. Whatever the case, it was time to move.
"Then get up there, you glory whore,"
Trenton growled, picking up his iron grappling hook and preparing to throw it to the window above.
"Move when I move, and watch out for the guards when you climb."
Anthony nodded eagerly. Taking the second grappling hook, he moved down the wall, his gaze fixed on the large window overhead, emitting both light and screams. The screams were growing weaker, however, and now there were growling words intermingled with them. A woman was sobbing. Trenton caught Anthony's attention and nodded once. The grappling hooks flew up and hooked onto the edge of the stone windowsill. There was no time to delay. The sentry with the arrow through his torso hadn't been discovered yet, but it was only a matter of time. Trenton and Anthony heaved themselves up the wall, deftly climbing the rope until they both reached the windowsill at nearly the same time. Unfortunately, they were met with an obstacle. Because the windows were set back from the sill, they hadn't a clear view of them until they were upon them. Now they saw that the windows were made from crown glass, cylinder shapes in a pattern that comprised the window itself. The windows in the center were fixed, but the smaller side windows were open for ventilation. This meant they would have to go through the glass, which was heavy and imperfect, and secured with wood or iron braces. They really couldn't tell. All they knew was that they had to get through it. Trenton released his grip and slid down the length of the rope until he was on the ground, followed by Anthony a split second later. As Anthony and the others watched curiously, Trenton dislodged his grappling hook, gathered it up, and swung it again, this time harder. It sailed up at the edge of the broad window, lodging itself in the top of the windowsill now. Without pause, he began to haul himself up again. Anthony, puzzled at what he was doing, followed suit, and soon enough he had his grappling hook wedged into the top of the stone window frame too.